I think your personal brand is your reputation, ultimately, as an individual. And that's something that, you know, gets formed over time based on your actions, based on what people see you doing and talking about. And that all comes together to form your personal brand. I think if it's your personal brand, you can go for whatever you like and it's going to fit, because your personal brand is meant to amplify you, amplify the parts of your personality, the parts of your skill set that are going to help you reach your goals. It's not about creating something from scratch and deciding what should my brand be. It's like, no, what parts of me are going to best lead towards my goals? And that's what I'm going to try and focus on.
Hello, listeners. Before we get into this week's episode, we just wanted to let you know that this is an episode that Charlie and I recorded last year, didn't we, Charlie?
Yes, we were a little bit chaotic with our episode recording last year. And honestly, we didn't even realize that these ones hadn't gone live. And so we thought, instead of them just sitting in the hard drive and, you know, gathering digital dust, we wanted to put them together and get them out to you because we still really enjoyed the conversation.
Welcome to Design Life, a podcast about design and side projects for motivated creators. I'm Femke.
And I'm Charlie. And today we are going to talk about your personal brand. I ran a workshop on this topic recently, crafting a personal brand for a group of designers. There was about, I think there was like 75 people.
Wow, that's awesome.
More than that bought a ticket, so they're going to be watching the recording. It went really well. It was a great time to have people thinking more intentionally about their personal brands. And so in this episode, Fem and I are going to talk about our personal brands, how we approach them, how we're building them, what's important to us, and all of that. So maybe you'll pick up some takeaways for what to think about for yourself. First though, Fem, how's life going?
Yeah, thank you for asking. Although you ask me this every week, so I shouldn't be too surprised.
Yeah, oh, shocker that I thought to ask that question.
Thank you. Yeah, going pretty well. Course is still going on. We've got about a week left, which is crazy. It's been going so fast, but it's been so much fun. I've been learning a lot along the way too. Like every time I run this cohort, I know it's just going to get better and better each time with the more and more feedback that I get, which is really exciting. Going into the fall now, I feel like I'm reassessing a little bit some of my sponsorships and collaborations going into the later end of the year. It seems to be picking up too. I feel like people are getting back from summer, or like summer's slowly coming to a close. And so folks are looking at what they want to do for the rest of the year. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But overall, things are going pretty well.
Someone forgot to tell Spain that summer is coming to a close. We had like 36 degrees today.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Celsius, by the way, for the Americans listening. Yeah.
Yeah, that does not sound like the end of summer kind of temperature.
No, it's definitely midsummer. But
how about you? I know you had your workshop. Like, how did it go?
Workshop went great. I was super pleased with how engaged everyone was in the chat and all of that during it. And now I'm figuring out, okay, that was my like new income stream I wanted to add for the year, because I always try and add one each of my financial years. The financial year for me starts in June. So I'm like, I already did it. What do I want to do next?
Right. Okay. So you still got like a while to go.
Yeah. So I think it's time to get back to focusing on the book, to be honest. I think I'm going to join. There's a local yoga class I go to on the riverbed here in Valencia, and she's doing like a weekend yoga retreat. And there's going to be like a lot of downtime for hiking or just relaxing. And I was like, what if I use it for like a writing retreat / yoga?
Yes.
That's what I think I'm going to do later on this year to try and get back into the book.
That sounds great. Well, I don't know if you remember, I did a little writing retreat earlier this year.
Yes, for your course.
Yeah, when I was trying to work on all the course material, and it was so, so great. I do recommend it if you're just looking for like heads down, uninterrupted focus time. I say writing retreat. I just went to an Airbnb by myself in the woods and like hung out there by myself, but you can kind of make it what you want.
It's a DIY writing retreat. I like
DIY,
it.
DIY, exactly. Yeah.
Well, let's talk personal brand. When I talked about doing this workshop to Ryan Segal, our mutual friend Ryan, he said to me, isn't a personal brand just something that's kind of instinctive though? Like, how much do you really need to strategize about it? And I was like, great point, Ryan. Yes, it can be. And that I think should be the starting point. But my view is that if you have like a specific goal you want to get to, being intentional about your personal brand is something that can help you get there. But I'm curious to know how much thought you've put into this, Fem. given that you're not someone who runs workshops about personal branding?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I feel like over the years that I've been doing side projects and like my design career, I've had some identity crisis between my personal brand and my company brand. Is it the same thing?
Ooh, tell me more about that.
So I guess when I started doing side projects and things, I really viewed it as my personal brand. Like, it's me putting things out there. I went with Femke.design. Feels like a very personal brand. Now I'm like years into this and, you know, my side projects has grown into something that started off as just like side passion, personal projects to a company, really, or a business. And so I don't know if I'm in this transition phase, but I'm also just feeling like, who am I, Femke, personal brand, inside this now company? Really? And what is the difference between the two? Are they the same thing? I don't know. That's like something I've been realizing, I've been processing lately a little bit.
Interesting. Why do you think you're feeling this conflict? Is there choices that you come up against where you're like, oh, this might be what I would do, but is it what Femke.design, the company, would do?
Yeah, I think that's part of it, is that it's the company now, even though it's still like just me, let's be real. But it does feel like there are certain things I might do or say, but do I agree that that's what the company should do or say? Maybe yes, maybe no. So I don't know. It's like added like an extra filter, I guess, for me.
Interesting. Interesting. Right now, if you were to describe your brand, do you think you would describe your company brand different from your personal brand? Or are they kind of still like, if you described them, they'd be pretty similar?
I think there's a little bit of a difference, I guess. For me, where my personal brand shows up the most is Twitter, because I feel like that's where I can be most myself. Like, my Twitter account is not Femke Design. I feel like I'm showing up on Twitter as an individual, whereas places like Instagram or YouTube, that's my company brand. And so I feel like how I show up in those places is a little bit different because of that framing.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think how I pictured in the workshop, talk about the things that a personal brand can have you achieve, is kind of like career growth, ultimately, is what it can all sum up to. Career growth, getting clients, expanding your network. Those are things your personal brand can help with. It's not really growing a business, adding income streams. You're right that it's kind of similar, because by growing your network and growing your audience, it can lead to income streams and lead to growth in that sense. But ultimately, that's not what a personal brand is technically for.
Yeah, I like that delineation a lot. And it's something I talk to a lot of designers about when trying to coach and mentor them on things like their portfolio or people looking for a new job, is like, how do you want to show up, right? How do you want to position yourself as a designer on your portfolio? What are your superpowers? What are your strengths? What are your strong interest areas? You know, this is making me realize, like, what we're really talking about is personal brand in that conversation. It's like, who are you? How are you showing up in your career? Who do you want to be? And yeah, you're right. I don't think you need to have a business or side projects to quantify a justifiable reason to have a personal brand. I think we all have one, if we know it or not, right? People are going to look at us in some way and put us in a box. And so we may as well take some control over what that box is and how people perceive us, I guess.
Exactly. I agree. I think your personal brand is your reputation, ultimately, as an individual. And that's something that, you know, gets formed over time based on your actions, based on what people see you doing and talking about. And that all comes together to form your personal brand. It was a fear of mine, and I tried to make it clear on the landing page, but it was a fear of mine in the workshop, that people would be thinking this was a branding workshop where we're going to like come along and make a color palette and decide what our logo is and our typeface. Honestly, maybe this is controversial to say as a designer, but I don't think that you need to put a lot of thought into those decisions for your personal brand. I think if it's your personal brand, you can go for whatever you like and it's going to fit, because your personal brand is meant to amplify you, right? Like, amplify the parts of your personality, the parts of your skill set that are going to help you reach your goals. It's not about creating something from scratch and deciding, what should my brand be? It's like, no, what parts of me are going to best lead towards my goals? And that's what I'm going to try and focus on. And so, yeah, that's why purple is my main brand color, because I just like the color purple.
So I guess, how intentional are you about that? Is this something where you sit down every year and you work through like a worksheet and you're like, you know, how do I want to show up this year? What do I want my personal brand? Or is it something that you're not as rigidly controlling and you're like just kind of trying to embody it day by day?
Well, I've done workshops on personal brand, or like it used to be one that I called, it's kind of different, but about self-promotion that I've done at a few events. They all involve this idea of writing a personal brand statement, defining this is the skill set that I am known for. These are the character traits or behaviors that I am exhibiting or that I want to people to think of when they think of me and my brand. By nature of doing that teaching, I end up revising my own that I share as an example a bunch of times because it's like a good stopping point for me to think about it. But I think even if I wasn't teaching workshops like that, I would still want to do some intentional thinking around that. Or maybe it would be more of a intentional once and then like a gut feeling check in each 6 months to a year of how it's serving me. But yeah, I do try to think consciously, what do I want to be known for? Like an example I gave in the workshop that I did recently was being radically candid, being really open and honest and transparent. And so I make choices like publishing an income report, sharing time tracking, calling out people who are being dicks on Twitter, you know, like I like to do that stuff because that's me. I like to share. I think it's valuable. Yeah. And it's also what I want to be known for. Like I want people to think, oh yeah, Charlie's super transparent. I can trust her. And yeah, I think that's probably why a lot of people showed up to the workshop, honestly, was because of that too.
It sounds like value setting.
Mm-hmm, I think so.
And maybe also goal setting is important here. Like knowing what your values are and how you want to show up or what you want to be known for, like to your point around like transparency, like that's something you really value. And then goals too, in terms of like, where do I want to go? What do I want to be known for? I think can help give you some direction as to your personal brand.
Yes. What was really cool about the workshop is that I had almost even-ish split between people who are there because they're really looking to get a promotion in their current role and they want to level up the reputation they have within the company they work at, people who wanted to get a new job at a certain company or, you know, a better job in general, people looking for freelance clients, and also people looking to expand their influence in the design community and do what you and I are doing with building an audience, building out our network, which was really cool to see because I do believe, like I said, a personal brand can help with all those things, but it just changes what you focus on, I guess. Like if my sole goal with my personal brand was to get a promotion, I wouldn't be putting any effort into YouTube, sharing content, whatever. I'd probably still be doing some like teaching via content, but I would be doing it internally and I would be applying my efforts to making sure that in the minds of the executive team at ConvertKit, they're seeing me as whatever the next level is. I do want to do that, but I'm kind of like splitting my efforts at the moment, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense. You can't do everything all at once, right? So you need to be a little bit conservative about what am I going to focus on? What are my goals? So that totally makes sense.
Do you believe fundamentally that you can control what people think about you, like the perception that they have of you?
Oh man, question's so hard. This is something I've like thought about on and off for a few years, to be honest. What are the things that I can control, right? I can't control how people react to me, but I can control my reaction to that, I guess, or how I feel about that. I think there's only so much you can do to try to like put out the personal brand you want. But I guess the golden question is, are you then responsible for how others perceive that or how others react to it? I think that's a lifelong question that I still haven't figured out. And I do think about it now and then.
I think we can control it more than we realize if we want to put concerted effort into it. I couldn't just publish one income report 3 years ago and assume that that means people are going to think that I'm really transparent and open and honest. But if I repeatedly show that behavior and demonstrate that, then it's something I can build up. But I totally agree with you that what I can't control is some people not seeing that as a positive thing. You know, there's going to be people who think this is so crass to talk about money. She's just showing off. This is worthless. And you're right, I can't control that. But either way, they're still seeing me as like transparent and seeing stuff. It's just like not something they value. And so therefore, maybe I'm not for them, you know, that's okay.
That's a good point. Like there's also an exercise there in, I don't know if this is right to say, but like whose opinion do you care about the most, I guess? If the people that are reacting negatively or badly are those you really care about or really need on your side or like should be advocates, maybe that's a warning signal. But if they're just random people on the internet that you don't align with or that are not helping contribute towards you achieving your goals in any way, lose them, right? It's not worth losing sleep over. So I think there's also a bit of like, where is that coming from? And like, how much attention should you give it?
Yes. And maybe a good point to say there is that you don't need to have a large audience to have a strong personal brand that helps you either. Like, you know, the example of focusing internally in your company and building up your reputation there, or just like being known within your niche for certain things, being known amongst your local design community for certain things. All of that's still your personal brand. You don't need to like have hundreds or thousands of followers to make it happen.
Yeah, it's probably more likely internally your manager is probably an important advocate for you. So I would value their judgment more than say someone on like a random team that has an opinion about something you did that is not really having that much influence over you or your role.
Yeah, I think that as designers, we should think more about our personal brand internally in our company, within our team, within our org. I think that that could go a long way, especially when it comes to promotions and things like that, or even just like getting opportunities you want to work on projects. An example I gave in the workshop was about building up a reputation as a data-driven designer. If like a promotion you want to go for requires that level of knowledge, or if you just like want to build that up and have that be something people know you for, it's not enough just to like say, oh, I really value data. You've got to be using data actively, sharing it out with other people, sharing insights, saying I made this decision because of this data, and like making that obvious. Even if you're using data in every single decision, if no one knows that's why you're making those decisions, no one's going to think of you as a data-driven designer. And that's the thing. It's like, it only matters what you're putting out there to people. If you're just doing it privately, people can't form a perception of you based on that.
Yeah, it's sort of like intention is not enough. You have to do the action as well.
Yes, intention and action. I like it. Yep.
Yeah, so you have to have the intention of, okay, I want to be known as a data-driven designer, and then take the action of being a data-driven designer and showing up and doing that work and bringing visibility towards that.
Yes, visible action maybe is a good way to say that. Because I think another thing that I pointed out in telling people they should think about what they want to be known for is like, what work are you putting out there? Because it doesn't matter what work you're doing. What matters is the work you're sharing, because that's the stuff that people are going to build a perception based on. And so even if you really want to get into doing web design, but you keep having people contact you for logos and you need to pay the bills, so you're still designing logos, keep designing the logos, but only share the web designs. Because otherwise people are going to continue to contact you for logos when what you really want to be doing is the web.
Yeah, that's a really good example, actually, especially in like a freelancing context when you're maybe trying to attract certain kinds of work or clients and you want to build that brand, right?
I think it applies for applying for jobs as well. If you are designing a ton of logos, that's how you're spending 90% of your time, but you're applying for a UX UI role, you got to only show the UX UI stuff in your portfolio. Maybe one or two logo examples if you want to show some range, but like that shouldn't be the focus.
Yeah, totally. Okay, I'm curious now like how your personal brand has evolved over the years, if at all.
I think it's become bolder would be what I would say to that. Like,
Okay. Like more conviction in your personal brand.
Yeah. And like, I think I have become more confident as a person. It's been this benefit of aging for me that I feel like in the media, we only hear bad stuff about aging. How it's like, oh, you get older, you get less energy, wrinkles, whatever. But you couldn't pay me to go back to my early 20s. I just feel like through living life, I've gotten so much more confident in being myself and in my own strengths, also in my own weaknesses, like more comfortable with them too. It bothers me less getting critical feedback now compared to how it might have used to. And I think that that has shown up in my personal brand. It's become more me in a way over the years.
Yeah. Is there anything that people reach out to you for that surprises you? Or maybe someone's like mentioned, oh yeah, Charlie's really good at this, or Charlie's really known for this, and it's a surprise to you?
Not anymore. It used to be more often when I used to make content, a bunch of different things like DIY. And
interesting.
Remember how I made so many fashion videos back in the day?
I do remember.
In that apartment we lived in Wellington. Yeah, some people don't know that we used to live together. We didn't meet through the internet. We literally met in New Zealand, where we're both from.
Yeah, we were like IRL friends first for a long time.
Yeah, that used to more happen then that people might say, oh, Charlie's a DIY YouTuber or whatever. The main thing I get now is people reaching out to me about DIY screen printing.
Interesting.
Because That's still the most popular video on my YouTube channel. And I have a free PDF of my process that I shared with people because I used to like run a t-shirt company and do my own screen printing. And that is still very popular. That video alone, I think, has made me like $14,000 in AdSense.
Wow. Okay. And it's still going strong.
So that's why I'm like not taking it down. I'm like, well, it's bringing in me money so I can handle the odd email from someone wanting screen printing advice. Not that I take the time to give it to them. Sorry if you reach out about that, but it's not where I'm putting my energy. I'm definitely no longer an expert in that. But yeah, that'd be the main thing. Doesn't surprise me though, because I'm like, yeah, I kind of asked for this by having this video live. What about you?
I get freelance requests more often than I would think. I don't know why I get them because I say nothing about freelancing. I don't talk about freelancing at all. Nothing on my website or in any of my content alludes to the fact that I'm a freelancer, but I do get maybe like once a month someone reaching out wanting freelance contracting design work. And I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know if people just see, oh, she's a designer. Like I'll reach out to her because I need some design work. But nothing about my personal brand or company has ever been really about freelancing. So I don't know where it comes from, but it's interesting.
Is it at least freelancing on projects that are product design related?
Not always. Sometimes it's like web design.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I bet it's not. Yeah.
No, sometimes like I need a website and I'm like, I'm not your girl for this. Yeah, I have a full-time job and a full-time side job. So I'm not doing freelancing work right now. So yeah, I don't know where it comes from, but it's interesting.
It is important to pay attention to that stuff too, because you're right. Like that could be a perception that people have of you. And if it's strong out there, and maybe if one a month sounds like, ah, there's just someone assuming that every designer freelances. But if you were getting a ton of it, then it could weaken your product design teaching, right? If people thought you weren't fully invested in this product strategy, working with companies, etc. But because you, like you said, it's one a month, I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, it's not like alarm bells for sure. But I guess what would you do if someone was in that position where like they were maybe getting a lot of outreach or people were perceiving them in a way that is really not aligned with their personal brand or their reputation? How do you deal with that?
Yeah, I think you have to ask yourself, honestly, what am I doing that is leading to this? Because if it's a lot of people that have this perception, it's not random. And there's something that you're doing that isn't quite being communicated correctly. Maybe you could speak to a friend or like just ask someone who reaches out or like you see talking about this perception of you. Say, hey, where did you get this idea? I'd be really curious to know how you came to think this about me and see what they say. That'd be what I'd do. I've had to do that internally, I think. The example is eluding me, but there was like a situation, maybe it was with a new manager or something, where they thought what I valued and like what drove me wasn't correct. And I had to say, hey, that's not me. I am absolutely on the same page with you about X thing. You don't need to worry about this thing over here. I think part of it had been built up by previous experiences with someone in my role. And so it's like you're dealing with that past, not exactly baggage, but, you know, preconceived notions.
Yeah, yeah, history.
Yeah, history. And there hadn't been enough touch points with me yet for me to communicate how I think about things.
Right. Interesting. Yeah, something to keep an eye on, I guess, if you find that it's happening regularly. Maybe there's something in your control you can do to change or influence that.
Yeah. And I think that what I just said then about having enough touch points, that's important too. Because previous research used to say that like you had to have 7 touch points with a brand or a product before you decided if you bought it. And more recently, given how like noisy our world has become, it's more like 15 or 20 or maybe more. But I think the same is true for a personal brand, that someone's, yes, is going to form a first impression of you. And maybe they're going to have an impression of, oh, Femme's a designer. All the other designers I know are freelancers. So I'm just going to assume Femme is also a designer. But the more touch points someone has with you and the more you show up and show them who you really are and what you want to be known for, the closer their perception, hopefully anyway, will align with what you want it to be. And so I really like to encourage people to speak up more in their companies to build up the right reputation in there too, and not just keep it to private DMs or like just your like tiny little team channel, but like be braver and speak up in some larger meetings so that more people in the company can start getting to know you too. Because as you like climb the ladder of your career, it matters what external teams think of you and external leaders, and you could start building up those good vibes now.
Totally. I think that's a really nice note to end on. And I know that you ran this workshop all about this topic earlier this week. Are you going to be running it again in future? Or is there anything folks can go do to learn more about this topic with you?
Yeah, I definitely want to run it in the future, but I have no set date for that yet. In the meantime, what I'm doing is you can purchase access to the replay and the workbook that came along as part of that. And I think what I'll do is that anyone who purchases the replay, make it an invitation to anyone who has previously bought the product. So people who attended this workshop, if they want to come again, people who bought the replay, if they want to show up to the live version and go through it together, that's what I'll do. So yeah, the link to buy the replay will be in show notes or on charliemarie.com.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing and talking about this topic with me today. I definitely learned a lot. It's given me some things to think about. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, same for you. You brought some perspectives I hadn't thought of before. Maybe I have to tweak the workshop a bit to cover some things.
Awesome. Well, folks, you can listen to more episodes of Design Life at designlife.fm. And you can also send us an email, hello@designlife.fm, if you have a topic.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you. We'll see you next week.
All right. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.